Thank you for downloading this podcast from the Echo e-learning page. Don't forget that Echo membership would provide you with unlimited access to a whole range of other educational courses, as well as the entire content of the Echo e-library. Please check this out at www.echo-ibd.eu.
Hello and welcome to this Echo educational audio podcast. My name is Johan Burisch. I'm a gastroenterologist from Copenhagen in Denmark, and I'm very happy to talk a bit about telemedicine and home monitoring in inflammatory bowel disease. So telemedicine and home monitoring are just some of the terms that are being used for a concept where basically patients monitor themselves at home, and the input, being it symptoms or biomarkers, are then received by physicians in the hospital. When you look throughout the literature, there are many different names for this. Could be telemedicine, could be web-based applications, virtual clinics, but they all sort of describe the same concept. And in my opinion, and at least that's what I am going to use as a reference, telemedicine or e-health or distant monitoring all is about giving the patients the possibility to monitor themselves remotely at home instead of coming to the hospital all the time. And of course, you might wonder whether we need this in inflammatory bowel disease. And in my opinion, we do. Well, not only during the pandemic we've seen a need to monitor patients without seeing them physically, but from a patient perspective, well, there are many advantages of monitoring themselves remotely. Many of our patients are young, are active, they have to go to work, they have social and family lives, and having to go to the hospital, taking out those hours every once in a while is inconvenient. They might want to travel, and there are many other reasons for a patient wanting to be able to monitor themselves remotely and maybe only coming to the clinic when they actually need it. From a healthcare perspective, or a healthcare provider perspective, there are also many advantages. In the recent years, we've learned that clinical symptoms are not, or clinical remission is not enough. When we treat our patients, we need to achieve mucosal healing, normalization of biomarkers, and we want to prevent flares from happening, maybe even before they become symptomatic, if they fail treatments. And the current system, where patients need to call in, book a consultation, or being a telephone or a physical consultation, is inconvenient. It takes time. So having the options that patients might be able to monitor themselves even more closely remotely is also good for us. And then finally, well, with the increasing number of patients, with the increasing age of our patient population, treatment of IBD becomes more complex. Most patients are only mild to moderately active in their disease course, but we have this last group of severe patients that need our attention. And with the increasing burden on our IBD units, with the number of patients and the complexity of the treatment, I think it's advantageous if we can get the patients that have a mild disease course not to come to the clinic. So we save more time, we can use this time for the more complex severe patients. So these are some introductory remarks. I think e-health is, or e-health telemedicine, I'm going to say e-health for the rest of this podcast, is a good thing that really needs to be a part of all IBD units out there. Now, of course, we cannot rely on symptomatic monitoring alone, but luckily in the last few years, most of the providers of calprotectin, the stool marker that we use, or at least in many centers, including my own, it's used quite regularly to monitor patients. Well, it's possible to get this as a home test, so patients can score themselves at home. With the fastest of these tests, it takes less than 20 minutes to perform a calprotectin test, and they don't need to come to the hospital, and these devices can communicate with patient file systems, so the physicians get the information. And with that in hand, we can actually combine the symptoms using symptom scores, like the ones we use in trial or in some centers even in clinic, with an objective marker. And that's really a great thing. So there are many studies that have shown that this is actually feasible, and there are many, of course, many different versions. How you implement e-health really depends on the country and the center and the regulatory aspects of it in each country. I think the most important and the biggest and the landmark studies in terms of e-health come from Europe, and I'm just going to mention two of those. One is the Danish Constant Care platform that was shown back in 2010 already to be able to monitor patients more closely. Patients performing e-health and monitor themselves at home came much faster into remission, so the length of the flare was much shorter because they started treatment much quicker. They did not have to wait for a physician or a nurse to call back and tell them how to do. And the other thing, the other study is the MyIBD Coach studies from the Netherlands that were published some years ago, also showing quite clearly that this benefits patients in terms of, well, the need for hospitalizations was reduced, the number of outpatient visits was also smaller in the e-health group, and in both these concepts, and there are many others out there that I can't mention here, but they have all shown that, well, this reduces costs. You save time and you save costs in terms of, because patients don't have to come to the hospital, but you also increase adherence in the patients because they are more involved in their treatment. You increase their knowledge about the disease because most of these e-health concepts include some sort of e-learning as well, and overall it gives great patient satisfaction. Now finally, you cannot talk about e-health without also talking about some of the problems with e-health, because of course nothing is perfect and this is not a perfect solution. Well, first of all, e-health or telemedicine or remote monitoring is not for everyone, of course. In Denmark we have quite good experience with this. We have patients that are above the age of 80 that are using e-health with no problems, but of course you need to find the right patient population. Not everybody wants to be in charge of this themselves, they don't feel confident with this, but many do. Then there are, of course, in countries where reimbursement is part of how healthcare systems are funded, well, of course, this is a problem. You need rules that reimburse e-health consultations and that way of treating patients. Some might say that the doctor-patient relationship might suffer from this because you don't have direct contact to patients, and of course that's a real complaint, that's a real concern. On the other hand, usually, at least that's in our Danish experience, this goes quite well. We don't use it immediately, but the first consultations are physically. You need to learn to see the patient, and of course you cannot introduce them to e-health without ensuring that their knowledge about the disease and how to act when they experience symptoms is correct. Then there's of course the very important issue about data protection, data ownership of these data. So there are many aspects that need to be in place before you can implement e-health. On the other hand, there are many advantages, and in my opinion, I think they outweigh the disadvantages. So with that, I'd like to conclude that, in my opinion, digital, remote monitoring, or e-health, or telemedicine, whatever name you use, based on clinical symptoms and a biomarker, is feasible in IBD patients. And I think it should be a core part of IBD management today and of course in the future. E-health can help implementing evidence-based approaches because you can actually work in guideline flowcharts and patient flows depending on what treatments they are on. You can use these systems to make sure that they get their tests done, attend the visits that they need to, and so forth, are being scoped after 1 year after starting specific treatments. There are many things that you can add on to these symptoms. And by this, I think e-health also has the possibility to drive up standards, maybe even globally, and improve patient outcomes in the long run. And with that, I'd like to thank you for listening to this audio podcast. There are many more of these at the ECHO homepage. And if you become an ECHO member, if you are not already, you will get unlimited access to not only podcasts, but other educational material and many other advantages. So please go to the website and look at the memberships if you should be interested. Thank you very much.